Hi everyone, it's Meredith. We're gonna talk today about fruit, spiritual fruit, and how we get fruit, how God does it, not how man does it, how God does it. He does it very different, right, to man. Man's always trying to get you to be better or be someone else or be different and, you know, to get yourself up to scratch and to do this and to do that and give you all their opinions about how you need to be in order to be this person, right? But God doesn't work that way. God's very different and other. He's completely different to what we know here on earth. Our spiritual, our natural family is completely different to your spiritual family, who are all in Christ Jesus, who are in the vine, in the tree of life themselves. And he says you'll know them by their fruit, not by their opinions, not by their how-tos and get-tos and everything else that you are expected of down here on earth. In the natural realm, we come out of a spiritual realm, a kingdom realm, a heavenly realm that rules from above and reigns from above down upon on the nations with heavenly fruit that is beautiful and good and delicious and good for you, and it grows you and it heals you and it's good for you. So it's a completely different type of life. So I'm excited because it's a great day and it's very, a lot of light and glory and it's refreshing. So Galatians 6:12 is what I'm going to read from at the moment from the Passion Translation. I love it because it's a great translation. It really is. I mean, I really like it. All those who insist that you be circumcised are recruiting you so they can boast in their own works. Is that 12? All those, yeah. They are attempting to avoid the persecution that comes with preaching the liberating message of the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep every detail of the written law, yet they push you to be circumcised so that they can boast that you have become like them. But that was 13. So 12. All those who insist that you be circumcised are recruiting you so that they can boast in their own works. They're attempting to avoid the persecution that comes with preaching the liberating message of the cross of Christ. So all those, holy, okay, so circumcised on the outside, they all insist that you be circumcised on the outside. So it looks on the outside, it looks like on your flesh that you are righteous, that you are doing what it means to be a Christian. But spiritually circumcision, it actually means that circumcision is associated with the Christ seed, the male reproductive organ, right? The procreation, the male organ. And so we see, and after that circumcision, that spiritual circumcision, we see Christ after cutting away of the old man, cutting away of the old nature, cutting around all that fleshly work. It's cutting out all that stuff. Of all those works, right? It's separating, it's taking away all that which is unclean, and it's separating that which is consecrated to God. So circumcision in the Greek, peritome, to cut around the flesh, cutting out the self-effort. It's stopping the self-effort. They constrain you to be circumcised either by their example and their outward experience, outward appearance. So they look like, you know, these people that are commanding you to be circumcised. They constrain you to your spiritual growth by even just their example. I mean, we can look now to Christianity. And I'm telling you, like, I've come through some Christian, not as much as some people. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, rebellion's not even not nicer than that either. So, I mean, they're both just sinful and fallen. Sinful's just separated from the union of God. You know, it's just separation from God, where you don't have any union with His Spirit, which cuts you off, and then you don't know who you are. You're lost. You're looking for yourself in all these different types of things and places, and that it's just a confusion, really. It's all confusion because you don't know. But God's not a confusing God. He's very simple, and that's why it baffles people. So they constrain you by that. They're holding you to traditions and to rituals, subjecting them to carnal ordinances of the law. So they're false teachers, these people. They're trying to tell you that you need to do this and you need to do that in order to get to God. And God's saying, no, that's not what you need to do. They wish to appear like they're actually something. They want to look like they're the Christian. They want to look like they're the teacher. They want to look like they're better than, or they know it, or they've got the information. They're false teachers. They're wanting to, you know, look like to their other leaders that they're producing converts. They're producing people, you know. They're being fruitful because they're bringing all these people into salvation, you know. They're getting all these people saved, or you know, acting like they're righteous by preaching, you know, we need to do more. Instead of preaching, it's actually finished. They're like, okay, we need to do more. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's press in. Let's really, come on, let's press in for Him now. Let's press in for His presence. Let's press in for more of an anointing, more fire. We need more God, more, you know, like, and He's like, stop. It's finished. Why don't you preach the finished work of the cross? Finish it. It's finished. He sent it. It's not complicated. He did it very simply, so it's not confusing, because confusion's not of God. Confusion is of Satan. And it's an enemy to our soul, confusion. The simplicity of the gospel is it is finished on the cross. You're forgiven, and everything you need is in that tree of life. You need to come into the Spirit of God, and you need to access His Spirit only. It is finished by believing that He has redeemed all of mankind into the cross, into Himself by Jesus. It's just believing the redemptive works of God. Like, He's done the redemptive works. We don't have to do any more work. It's a lie. It's bad fruit. What it does is it just produces many people out there that go out, start trying to work for God again. And that's not the new marriage covenant. That's not the New Testament. That's not God. To be finished, right, the end work, the finished works of the cross, means that's finished, where the platforms are finished, the stages are finished, it ends the hierarchy, it ends the need for these false teachers. If you only need Jesus to teach you, then what happens to the ambitious uprising ministers? You know, calling a national fast for this nation, and then you're right in, right? So everyone's fasting for a nation, you come into, you know, some sort of like honor system. Now you're honored because you're praying. No. Look, the gifts are without repentance. But you want to participate in the tree of life, okay? Because only overcomers get to participate in that. That is the highest privilege. That's where the honor is, in Him, not in man leaders. You need to come out of that completely. I mean, how do you walk away now? So man telling people to fast for another country, using platforms to gain recognition by pyramid leaders, like, that is not God. It's simple. The cross is simple. Everyone who participates comes into the tree of life and believes that God has redeemed us through Jesus Christ becomes equal, okay? And some grow and bear fruit, and some don't. They try. They're still in that self-effort, trying to please themselves, trying to do the works of the ministry, trying to do the works for God, trying. The spiritual work, this is spiritual Hebrew. For circumcision, the Hebrew word, which is spiritual, right? So Hebrew is spiritual. Greek is thinking with your mind, it's earthly, and you always get more when you look at the Greek words. So, and when you look at the Hebrew words, even more importantly, because they're spiritual, and the Old Testament, that's the original language. So when you're trying to, I mean, you can look at, just for example, for our day and age, we look at the Arabic language, the writing. I mean, they use vowels. Trying to learn Arabic is difficult because they use vowels, and, you know, I mean, my whole name is in like a little square and a dot, and it's Meredith, you know what I mean? It's because it's the way it sounds, not the way it's spelled. It's very different to the English language. So we're blessed to have many translations because everybody can interpret a little bit different. There's nothing far-fetched, but some people miss some things, and that's why God's so good that he uses people to produce this information that we can get a wider reference and we can access this stuff freely, you know. You don't have to go anywhere to get it, but it's good to get some sound theology behind you just to, you know, avoid those real bad incorrect teachings. You don't want to be a false teacher. So, you know, a foundational, you know, theology is good to understand the Trinity. And, you know, from there, God, you can become, you know, you grow in your, you know, you grow in wisdom and stature. You grow and you learn by the anointing. So in the Hebrew, circumcision means is mal. The word is mal, right? And it's to be cut away. It means to cut away. So in Jeremiah 4:4, circumcise yourselves to Yahweh and take away the foreskin of your heart. Okay, now we spoke about that in the Forgiven podcast. So take away again, right? He goes, I'm going to take away your sin. I'm going to take away the, that's that. And what does it mean? It means deliverance, take away, remove, get rid of, take it away so you don't have to have it there anymore. So misinterpreting language can really affect your revelation or your understanding on what God's actually saying. And it always comes down to, you know, just misinterpretation and lack of spiritual food, right? The more you drink his spirit, the more understanding you get. Okay, so circumcise yourselves to the Yahweh and take away the foreskin of your heart. The foreskin of your heart, like, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. You know, evil. Now, people would read that in the Old Testament and go, oh, what a horrible and mean God, because their mind in the Greek, which they've been taught through generations of earthly educational systems, would straight away have a connotation that evil is just evil, bad, and then they straight away connect that to God being evil and because of your doing. So that means we're not allowed to do anything, because if we do anything, then we're evil. And it's just bad, bad interpretation. It's earthly and carnal and natural thinking. It's wrong. Okay, evil in the Hebrew is ra. Okay, and that means bad, right? Now, if we look at that in terms of looking at Genesis 2:9, because in Genesis 2:9 it says that bad, ra, is actually talking, when they're talking about bad, they're talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what does that, why is that bad? Because it turns you carnal, it turns you natural, the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so you're eating off the tree of knowledge instead of the spirit of knowledge. There's a spirit of knowledge, there's a spirit of wisdom, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, spirit of understanding, spirit of something else, Isaiah 11:1. So these spirits that all come out of the Holy Spirit are what we're meant to be eating from, but we fell and we began to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that was just allowing natural and carnal thinking to enter into our minds, which is not the thinking and the thought patterns of God at all. His thoughts for us are good. His plans for us are good. Okay, he didn't make this complicated. He made this easy. He did it in 6 days, and by the seventh day, he had a world. I mean, in 7 days, I sometimes can't even get a load of washing done. You know what I mean? This isn't, he's not complicated. We are. He's simple. Okay? He's not complicated. He's like, how do we get back to God? Here's Jesus. He's going to go through a lot, but here he is, and he's going to connect you back to a union with me. It's how I'm going to get him in, me back inside of you to get rid of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to get it back in you through Jesus. And that's it. You just got to believe it in the redemptive work. And these false teachers are telling you, you've got to fast, you've got to pray, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to bow down. Every religion's got some sort of work. Every religion. You've got to do this and get your Merkaba right. You've got to color your chakras and get all this stuff right. And you've got to, you know, come on. God's not, that's complicated and hard work, and it just is busy. I mean, if he did a world in 6 days, it's going to take you a lifetime to get spiritually well if you're trying to do it through chakras and meditations and all these other type of things that you, you know, the New Age are doing, which now the charismatics seem to want to be doing as well, which is just ridiculous. I mean, you know about the work, you know, how hard is it to lead some, you know, those who have experienced the glory back to repentance? I'm sure it says in the Bible that that can't happen. Probably because they've experienced it and now they're going further, and, you know, what happens? Pride comes, and you can't tell somebody anything when they're in pride because they know everything. And if you know me, then you know that's how I used to be. So there is hope for you yet. Because the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And now I'm in my father's tree. And now you can be. If you follow. No, Jesus tricked you, didn't I? All right. Turn your carnal natural separates from the spirit. Okay, so that eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil is trying to separate you immediately from the spirit, because God's about spirit to spirit. He's not head to head. All right, and he goes on, you read it in Numbers 14:27. He's like, how long shall I bear with this evil? In this state, we do abominable and wicked things to one another. We're judging, hurting, accusing, all out of our own opinions, learned knowledge from the wrong tree. The fruit is bad, right? We hurt each other. We're so wicked. Oh, we just are so don't want to know anything. He's like, no, this is disgusting and bad. You don't want to be that way. Oh, the fruit is bad. Hebrew ra, right? Ra is bad. Disagreeable, malignant, unpleasant, giving pain, unhappy, misery, displeasing, low value. It's worthless. That's when you're feeling worthless, or you're feeling like you're not valued, you've got bad fruit. You've eaten from the wrong tree. Eat from the right tree and your fruit will improve. You will have value. You will be pleasant. All right. Bad fruit. Rah. Comparative. Okay. You're comparing yourself constantly to everyone and everything around you. Worse than. And wait for it. I didn't know this until today. A sad heart. Well, there you go. It's a sad heart when you've got bad fruit. Okay. It's depressive. It's sad. It's disgusting. It's blah. But the good news is that's not how we need to remain. We don't have to live that way. We're blessed. We are so blessed. So getting you praying and fasting and getting people in is just getting people in obedience to their flesh, right? And God says it in the Bible that flesh counts for nothing. So trying to get people all better and fixed up and all, you know, doing stuff, so it looks like they're pressing in and they're working to try and bring in revival, bring in the spirit, bring in God, bring in what? They're just lazy, pretty much. I mean, come on, God, pour out your spirit. I am sick of talking to people about you. It takes too long. I don't want to do it. Can't you just come and do it? Can't you just come and do a quick work so we can all go rapture out of here? Oh, Jesus. It's just lazy. It is. People don't want to do, like, people don't want to do it God's way. They want to do it their way. And God's saying, look, you don't need to be doing any of that stuff. Okay? Why are they doing it? It says, so they can glory in your flesh. That's why. Why are we getting them to pray and fast? A big call out for everyone to pray and fast for the nations. Pray and fast for the nations. He doesn't say that. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what he says. And the gospel is Jesus died so you can have eternal life with the Father, your Father. Eternally one with God. Again, no more separation. Constantly connected and in communion and union with your daddy in heaven, your papa God, who loves you so much. He misses you so much. I mean, he can see you, he knows you, everything's, he's there, but you're not hearing him. And he's trying to instruct you, but you're going that way, and he's like, no, you're gonna get hurt. Ah, no, that's not where you're going. That's not who you are. What are you doing? Hello, why can't you hear me? And it's just because you're separated from him in your spirit. You don't have to do anything. You just got to accept what Jesus has done for you and let him come and reside inside of your heart and fill your spirit with his spirit. So it's not complicated. It's not complicated. We're complicated. Satan complicates everything for us. So getting you to fast and pray. So they do it so they can glory in your flesh. So, okay, so it looks like a whole body of believers or a whole nation is praying and fasting because you called them to it. Yeah, you. You know, now you're like, wow, now look, God's moving and, you know, people are being filled with the Spirit. People are having encounters. You know, that's because I called them to a fast and we got breakthrough in that nation because of what I just did, you know. And it's like, no, you're glorying in the works of their flesh and the flesh counts for nothing because I've already said you don't do that. That's not what achieves the glory of God. That glory of God was achieved on the cross and it's openly available to us. So the right thing, yet they, you know, they boast in the look at our followers. Like, look, they boast in it. Look at our followers. They're doing, look what they're doing, you know. All of these followers I have, I've got them all to do this. Look at them, you know. And then the right thing, it's like they themselves can't even uphold it. They can't even uphold what they're trying to get you to do. Prayer and fast, pray and fast. I mean, who can pray and fast 24 hours? I mean, constantly they're calling, you know, they're, as a leader, they're calling a body of people to do it. Yeah, okay, you participate for a while, but what, you know, it's works of the flesh and it counts for nothing. Galatians 6:13, yet they push you to be circumcised so that they can boast that you have become like them. And Paul says in Galatians, my only boast is in, this is in 6:14, my only boast is in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him I have been crucified to this natural realm. Okay, he's crucified to the natural realm, the natural thinking, the natural ways, the natural tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's crucified to that. Okay, and the natural realm is dead to me and no longer dominates my life. I am not dominated by a call to prayer and fast from a natural leader. I'm led by the Spirit of God, who has no problem, who is completely capable of telling me if I need to pray and fast as a believer, as a Spirit-filled believer. I mean, the Spirit of God, and he has no problem in Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, has no problem in telling, you know, a nation of people to do that if that's what he wanted. We don't need a leader to tell us that. We need a leader to preach us the gospel, the redemptive work of Christ, okay? That's what we need, leaders to be doing that. We don't care about you flaunting your gifts all over the place. I mean, and some aren't even like, they're even like drumming up their gif. I mean, seriously, it looks like New Age. Of course it is. Okay, so there we are, dominates my life. And then he says, focusing on self. Okay, so the focus on self to refine and change us It hinders the Holy Spirit from renewing and refining us. So when we're focused on this self-effort, everybody's all focused now that we need to fast and pray. We need to fast and pray. We need to fast and pray. Or we need to read our Bible. Even the Bible's good for you. But we need to go and study this or do that. Like, all that stuff's good. But he's like, no, redemptive work of the cross. Come into the cross. Believe Jesus and let him live inside of you, right? And then feed yourself the Spirit of God by listening to Spirit-filled messages or reading the Bible, whatever you can, the audio Bible. I mean, God's made this easy for us, okay? It's not complicated. Focusing on, you don't have to do anything, actually. All you need to do is breathe. We're all still being delivered of, you know, religion. You just need to breathe God in. That is it. That's all you got to do. You just breathe him in. He's the Ruach HaKodesh. That's all you need to do is breathe in God. You've got him. The Spirit's poured out. You're in. You're done. You're in. You're welcome. No problem. Thank me later. Honestly, focusing on self-effort to refine and change us, it hinders the Holy Spirit. When you're focused on prayer and fasting, or this or that. I'm using prayer and fasting because that was a massive call out to like nations the other day in this crazy messed up religion they call Christianity, you know? And that is not cool because many people who are hungry, which means they're not filled, now go away trying to think that that's how they're going to get, you know, whatever. Whatever the fruit of the Holy Spirit, when that's not the case. The Holy Spirit can't work when you're so busy there. So you just relax and enjoy the Holy Spirit who's there for you right this second, just as you breathe. You're breathing in the Holy Spirit every time you breathe. He's the air that you breathe. He's closer to you than a brother. He's a friend, a comforter, a true lover of your soul. He's the Spirit air. Right next to you, right now. It doesn't matter what your situation you're in. It doesn't matter what anyone's ever said to you, what words they've spoken over your life, whatever scriptures they've tried to ram down your throat to try and make you under the law and curse you. Let it all go. Holy Spirit is here for anybody who wants him, which is you, and you breathe him in. Thank you, Jesus, for it. We are so blessed. It is an easy new covenant. It is not hard like the old covenant. So Galatians 5:17. This is going a little while, so sorry. Hope you're getting something from it. 5:17. Galatians 5:17. And again in the Passion Translation. So for your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free with you. It's like our soul wants something to hook onto. Right, and that's why we went for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because our soul's always trying to, we need something, we need something, we need something, we need something. God's like, you don't need anything, I've done it, you're just all right. Like, just shh, stop. We're like, we can't, and we stop for a minute, and then we go back to try and claw into something. And he's like, every time you do that, you hinder the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's the one that's been sent to do all the work, not you. Okay? So he's like, as you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the craving of your self-life. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. The Holy Spirit is the only one who defeats the craving of your natural life. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. So, nothing we can do can bring us a new heart. It's only God, the Holy Spirit, who gives a new heart. And how many converts and conformity to customs showed, their zeal for God to others, but it never converts a heart to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, right? It never converts the heart to a transforming heart of the Holy Spirit. It's just a numbers game. So what if you got 255,000 people to say yes to Jesus? Did they go home and have a transformed heart and now are they grafted into the tree of life, overcomers and saints forever in paradise where their tree will continue to bear fruit and produce seed to continue to feed everyone for eternity? Did you lead anyone to righteousness or did you just get a number? because that's the difference. And those people that are just putting their hand up, 250,000, and they're thinking that they've just been converted to Jesus but go home and their life's still crap, can't understand why this Jesus fella's not working for them. It's because they haven't been discipled, because the leader didn't give a crap about their spirit life. They actually only cared about how many converts they can look like they've got or how many followers they've got. And these people are out there, and now it looks like to everyone that these people are big people in ministry with all these numbers, but they haven't converted anybody's soul or anybody's heart to Christ whatsoever. These people are still out there empty and void and not knowing what's going on and why this Jesus isn't working for them. And so they turn from Christianity with a bitter heart and a hardened heart because that didn't work. There is great, great, great judgment upon a leader who tries to lead somebody that way. It is unfair and it hurts people and it's wicked and it's evil. And you're trying to feed that down everybody's throat. We don't care about your big word of knowledge. We don't care that you're dangling that like a carrot, trying to get everybody to come and get your gift. God's not stupid. God doesn't need your help. He can give the gift if he wants to give the gift. He's more concerned about their soul and how hurt they've been in this world and abused by leaders like yourself. And then he's more concerned about people's hearts and that they get healed from the brokenness of this horrible and nasty and confused and bitter world. He cares about you and he cares about these people. So if you're a leader like that, you need to take a step off the platform and take some wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Take a break, leave whatever it is that you think is more important. Because these people's souls are at stake. Hey, okay. Sorry. So, 6:15. I'm just going to Galatians 6:15. Circumcision doesn't mean a thing to me, says Paul. The Apostle Paul, who didn't give a crap about his ministry or anything. He cared about people. Okay? Cared about you guys. Circumcision doesn't mean a thing to me. The only thing that really matters is living by the transforming power of this wonderful new creation life. Praise God, isn't that beautiful? The only thing that really matters is living by the transforming power of this wonderful new creation life. So, the fruit, Galatians. Ooh, Randa 6:8, whatever. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect to experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. So, the seed, the corrupt seed, is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, okay? You can expect to experience a harvest of corruption if you plant good seeds, okay? But if you plant bad seeds, which is bad fruit, which is fleshly works, then you can expect a harvest of corruption. You've corrupted your ministry. You've corrupted hearts, people's minds, atmospheres, our earth. So you can definitely expect a whole different leadership to rise up and who actually care about people. He does grant us, you know, repentance unto life. So if you plant good seeds of spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. Good seeds. Good. We look at good. Genesis 1:3-1. God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. Everything God does is good. Okay, the tree of life, and it is finished. It's good. It's good. It's so good. So go and plant and be fruitful. He made man and woman, and then God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply in Genesis 1:2-8. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And then he goes on to say, I've given you everything you need to do this. Okay, he says, I've given you everything you need to do this. And then in Genesis 1:2-9, he says, see. Do you know what see means? See in the Hebrew means roar. See. It means to behold, look, enjoy, consider this. Look, see. Roar, he says, roar. I have given you every herb. He says, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed to you, and it shall be for food. To you it shall be for food. He goes, I have given you every herb that yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Okay, like herb is not herby-herby, wackadoody. Herb in Hebrew, the actual word for herb in Hebrew is aura. Aura. And do you know what that means? Light. Feminine light. Starlight, moonlight, sunlight, all the light we need. He says, I've given you all the light you need to go and yield seed on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. So he says, herb, aura, I've given you it, the light. I've given you enough light. I've given you the light that you need for it to yield. The light that raises the dead. It's the light that quickens dead bodies. It's the light that turns seeds into flowers. That light grows the Christ seed that is now accessible due to the circumcision of our hardened exterior in the new covenant. It's that light that comes forth, and it that light is now the glory light. That light yields, Zara in the Hebrew, to sow is to produce, right? So you're producing seed. You're producing seed. What seed? It says seed in the Hebrew is zera. In Hebrew, it's descendants, it's family. Okay, so that seed, that herb, that light, the feminine light, that feminine light. Why is the woman so persecuted? Why do they try to shut down the woman, her life? Why? Because it's that light that goes forth and it yields the seed on the face of the earth. It's that light that we need. The yield is produced, seed is zera, and it produces what? Descendants, okay? It produces the descendants, which is your family, which is your spiritual family. So you're sowing seeds of light into people. Seeds of light into the face of the earth, into all of creation. And every tree whose fruit yield seed, so every person, every tree whose fruit yields seed, so the fruit of them comes out with more seed, goes down to produce and multiply, it shall be for your food. You will harvest that. That's your harvest. So the fruit, the reward, you're going to either, what are you going to harvest? Good or bad fruit? The fruit is your reward. Those who overcome get to eat of the tree of life. It says that in Revelation. Revelation 2:7. All its healing properties are on the tree. On this tree of life that's in the garden, that's in paradise. And everybody that overcomes, we'll read it. We'll read it. 2:7. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God, right? He's so good. Like, we are complicated the way that we live. We're complicated. He is not. Fruit trees, the nations, eat your fruit, the healing of the nations, okay? So you're a tree and you bring the healing of the nations, the Jesus redeeming work, believe in it to get to the new heavens and the new earth, okay? It's just by believing in him. There's no works, there's no steps, there's no doing this, there's no doing that. You believe in the redemptive work of the cross. You're redeemed, you're connected now with God, you're in the glory. You were glorified. You're going to be glorified in that body. The light is in you. The light of God is inside of you. You're not separated from him. That's a lie. It's just your own thinking. Eternal in this realm now. Eternity is in this realm now. You bring in eternity into this realm now because of you just believing in what in the redemptive work of God. You're always bearing fruit now. You're always bringing forth fruit. The seed of the trees whose fruit yields, it produces a seed which goes out and it's sown and it multiplies, growing more trees who overcome and in the, and are now the tree of life or partakers in the tree of life in paradise. They're now partakers in the tree of life because if you can overcome, which is overcoming all the Greek and just believing in the redemptive work, you have to overcome your own soul. You have to overcome your own flesh and the desire to try and you want to do this, you want to do that, you want to do this, you want to do that. You don't need to do anything. You've just got to believe that Jesus has already done it for you. And blessed are those who do his commandments, it says in Revelation 22:14, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates to the city. So you believing, and then you do his commandments. So now you believe, you do his commandments, because everything he's commanding you is good, because God is good, and it's not going to be complicated, and it's not going to be hard, and it's not going to be confusing, because remember, he made the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. What do we do with our 7 days? Seriously. He's not like us. He's altogether other. He's a good, 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 good God. So I'll just read this and then I'm going to finish. So 15:5. I am the sprouting vine. This is in John. I'm the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If you live separated from me, you will be discarded like shriveled up branches that are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you step into my life in union with me and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. And when your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. This is Jesus talking. Let my love nourish your hearts, and if you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I am nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is that so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. So this is my command, love each other deeply, as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. And you show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you. And I have never called you servants, but because a master doesn't confide in his servants, and servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. And you didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. And your fruit will last, because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he will give you. So this is my parting command. Love one another deeply. That's it. So I'll leave it there for today and have a great day.